On the first Sunday of Lent, we had an encounter with Jesus in the desert. And we were inspired not to be afraid of those parts of our lives that are dry, lonely, dark, cold, or hungry, because the desert is a very powerful place to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. On the second Sunday of Lent, we had an encounter with Jesus on the mountain. And we were inspired not to be afraid to climb every mountain. The mountains of testing, the mountains of instruction, the mountains of suffering, the mountains of great joy and glory. Because the mountain is a powerful place to encounter the Lord Jesus. On the third Sunday of Lent, we had an encounter with Jesus at the well. And we were inspired not to be afraid to go to the well, because Jesus is there, and he's thirsting for our love and faith. Our Lord proposes to us at the well of our heart, and he wants us to enter into an exclusive love relationship with him, asking us to give up all of our other loves for the exclusive love of Jesus. Will you satisfy our Lord's thirst with your love and your faith? On the fourth Sunday of Lent, we had an encounter with Jesus at the pool. And we were inspired not to be afraid to dive into the deep end of the pool, because the pool is where Jesus wants to heal us. Whatever parts of us still need healing, whatever parts of us are still blind to the truth and goodness and beauty, whatever parts of us are in darkness, the Lord enlightens us in the baptismal pool so that we can see him more clearly and follow him more nearly day by day. The desert, the mountain, the well, and the pool are all four holy biblical places for a powerful encounter with the Lord Jesus. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, we have the most unlikely of all places to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. The tomb. How can you have an encounter with the living Lord Jesus when you're dead? And yet, it shouldn't be so surprising. A long time ago, Ezekiel predicted that incredible things will happen at the tomb. I will open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. Lazarus, in today's gospel, has the greatest encounter with the Lord Jesus, not in the desert, not on the mountain, not at the well, not at a pool, but after he's dead. He has an encounter with the Lord Jesus after he has been dead for 4 whole days. And it's there, in that moment, where Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes out of his tomb alive and well. In the most radical of all of the encounters, you can have an encounter with Jesus when you're dead, if you believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Now, as we have seen over the past 2 weeks, today's very long gospel was never, never, ever read on a Sunday. It was always read on Friday of the fourth week of Lent, just 2 days ago. And there was kind of a cool progression of readings last week in the traditional reading calendar. So remember, on Wednesday of last week, in the traditional calendar, we had the encounter with Jesus at the pool of the man born blind. Then on Thursday of last week, of the fourth week of Lent, traditionally, the gospel is read from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17, which is the story about Jesus raising the son of the widow of Nain to life. Do you remember that story? It's an important story. Nain is in the northern part of the Holy Land. It's in the region of Galilee. And the widow of Nain, so she's lost her husband, and now she's lost her only child. And they're on the way out to the cemetery. They're in the funeral procession. Jesus stops the funeral procession. He touches the casket. And the son comes alive. And he gives the living son, who once was dead, back to his mom. What a moment. And then liturgically on Friday, last week, on the fourth week of Lent, we read the story about Lazarus coming out of the tomb alive after having been buried for 4 days. And as we've said before, these gospels that were all chosen for this fourth week of Lent were specially chosen for our elect, for those who have been chosen among us for baptism at the Easter Vigil. And there's a little hierarchy here, if you can see the hierarchy. The first hierarchy is that you've been thirsting for love, but you're not getting your thirst quenched until you meet Jesus. And for the first time in your life, Jesus is able to satisfy every thirst and desire you've ever wanted. And then, as the order progresses, you realize that without Jesus, you're blind. That you've been blind from birth. You're living in original blindness that we call original sin. And Jesus tells our elect, our catechumens, go wash in the waters, in the pool of baptism, and be enlightened. But now, you can see the progression. You're not just thirsty. You're not just blind. But now the most challenging of all, you are dead. Make no mistake about it, our catechumens are dead in their souls. There is no life in their souls. They are deader than Lazarus. And then Jesus says to our catechumens, but I am going to awaken you. I will open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. And your dead souls are ready to come out of the tomb alive in just 2 weeks from today. Not even death can stop the almighty power of Jesus. Nothing is impossible with him. He is the resurrection and the life. For those of us who are already baptized, sometimes, sadly, unfortunately, we too can be dead in our souls. We call this, of course, mortal sin. From the Latin word mortis, meaning death. Make no mistake about it, mortal sin still exists. And it means death in our souls. Really dead in our souls, with no life in them. We're walking corpses. But Jesus says to us, not to worry. I am going to awaken you. After we make a good, honest, humble confession in the sacrament of penance, we leave the confessional like Lazarus leaving the tomb, alive and well. The confession is our encounter with Jesus at the tomb, where he awakens our soul to new life. And just wait. 2 weeks from today, there are going to be a great number of encounters with Jesus at a tomb. His tomb. To their absolute shock, to their complete surprise, the Jesus that they buried with their own hands, they will discover 3 days later that he is outside of the tomb, alive and well.